Back to the conversation now with our good friend, Dr. John Lott from the Crime Prevention Research Center. You can always find out more at crimeresearch.org. And doctor, I want to start today with Bernie Sanders, because it seemed to me he was out there saying, you know, we can't do gun buyback programs. It'd be confiscation. And it just makes me wonder. You know, I look at all these, the Democrats, Beto O'Rourke dropped out of the race for president, but, you know, he had a plan to take guns. Mayor Pete has a plan to take guns. They all have a plan to take guns. Bernie sounded a little bit different. What did you get out of it?
Well, I think he still wants to ban the guns. It's just a question of how one goes about doing that. And he's basically saying without proper compensation for people, you just can't go and say, I'll pay you $100 for a gun that could be worth a lot more than that, that you run afoul of the takings clause in the Constitution.
Sure.
It has nothing really to do with his views on guns. I mean, because obviously, like everybody else, he wants to go and ban a whole category of guns that are there. And we've talked about whether that makes any sense in terms of reducing crime, or, you know, what was the experience when we tried to do it before. But, you know, if a new assault weapons ban came up that looked like the assault weapons ban that we had from 1994 through 2004, or even, you know, variation on that, he has already indicated that he's very strongly in favor of that.
So my question, I guess, is simply this. I mean, do you see much difference between any of them, of the 12 or 14 that are left in the race to be the Democrat nominee? And of course, we hear that Michael Bloomberg's going to jump in. He's a, you know, loud and boisterous anti-gun voice across America. Do you see much difference at all? Or do you think that our gun rights, the Second Amendment, will be in deep jeopardy if the Democrats do well, if they win the White House, and certainly if they win the Senate back? I mean, I think our gun rights could come to a screeching halt to a large degree. Your thoughts?
Well, I mean, I agree. Look, Democrats just took control of the Virginia House and Senate. I mean, it was virtually tied to begin with, but a one-vote margin for the Republicans in both the House and the Senate there kept a long list of gun control laws from being passed. I mean, my guess is in January and February, Virginia is going to have, you know, at least 8 or 9 new strict gun control laws that are going to be passed, from, you know, bans on types of guns to these background checks on the private transfers of guns, things that are going to make it much more costly for law-abiding citizens to own guns, and cause many of them to unintentionally run afoul of the laws and become criminals themselves.
Sure, and
so I mean, federally, you'd see the same thing that would happen if you had a new Democratic president and Democrats took control of the Senate.
Clearly. Dr. John Lott here, the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, crimeresearch.org, the place to find all sorts of resources. Here, and here's the this is just so obvious to me and to people that to own firearms, that they're targeting the assault weapons, or these so-called assault weapons. And last year, 2018, less than 300 people in America were murdered with rifles of any sort, according to the FBI statistics, 297 from what I saw. And you and I know that when it comes to, you know, people that die either by suicide or homicide, whatever, that involve firearms in any way, rifles are almost non-existent on that list, but handguns and shotguns. So it's pretty obvious to see that the next step for the gun control crowd is they'll say, well, gosh, that didn't work, so we need a new common sense approach to gun control. I mean, that's always the term. And we have to do it for the children, of course. I mean, that's what comes next. It's pretty predictable.
Right. I mean, so we had the assault weapons ban. It didn't do what was being promised. Even studies paid for by the Clinton administration didn't find that it reduced any type of violence. And so the response then was that it hadn't gone far enough, and that was the reason why it didn't work. You know, that's basically what happens time after time. The background checks, the Brady background checks, there's lots of studies that have found no impact on crime rates. Well, the problem wasn't with the background check system. The problem was the laws just weren't draconian enough. That's what they do time after time. And if, you know, you you had bans on certain types of guns in Chicago and Washington, D.C. for decades. And murder rates and violent crime rates soared after those bans went into effect. Well, the argument was, the bans just didn't go far enough. We needed to ban handguns across the entire country.
Exactly.
In order for it to get to work. And so, even when the laws produced the opposite effect of what was promised, the solution time after time isn't to go and evaluate, well, maybe we made a mistake with the laws that we had there. The response is always to double down and expand.
And do more of it. It's failing completely. We need more. We need more socialism. We need more government control. We need more gun control. It's just, to me, it's complete insanity. But I think we've raised a generation of people that are reasonably ignorant of the Constitution and the Second Amendment. I think that's fair to say. I mean, these kids, you hear people talk about things. Well, the Constitution says this or that. And you're like, no, it doesn't. And isn't that frightening to you a little bit as well?
Well, look, I'm an economist. And obviously, you and I grew up when you had an East Germany and a West Germany.
Right.
East Germany was a socialist, and people were in poverty there, and they were willing to risk their lives in order to escape to West Germany. You don't have examples like that now for people to point to as readily, and the schools surely don't go through and talk about what happened under those types of systems.
Right.
And you end up with politicians like in Venezuela or someplace going and promising, well, you get free this, free that, everything's going to be wonderful. And obviously,
it's not
true, but
yeah, it's not wonderful.
The promises sound great.
Yeah. But the reality is something wholly different. Dr. John Lott, always an education, the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, crimeresearch.org. Find out the truth. Find out the facts. Doctor, greatly appreciated, as always.
Great talking to you. Thanks.
Dr. John Lott, everybody. It's the Steve Gruber Show.
Elected officials in Michigan broke their promise for a transparent, balanced process when it came to reforming auto insurance. They passed a bill in the middle of the night which had no public hearings and no fiscal analysis. Worse yet, it created many new problems while failing to address the real issues. Insurance companies can still discriminate. Rehab, therapy, and other providers may be forced to close. And there will certainly be more lawsuits. Tell your elected officials they need to fix this. Learn more at miautoinsurancepromise.com.
People still walk up to me and say, man, have you lost weight? I'm Steve Gruber, and I did lose weight, a lot of it. I did it with My Pure Health Solutions, formerly Nutrimost. I'm still surprised because it's been almost 2 years since I made the decision to drop the pounds. And with My Pure Health Solutions, I did it with a custom plan built just for me, and I'm so happy I did. I feel better. People tell me I look better. I lost 40 pounds. I still feel great. Find out more at GruberHealth.com. GruberHealth.com. That's GruberHealth.com. Believe me, if I could do it, so can you.